Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith, how the two come together and lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Me. Welcome to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I am Mike McGivern, once again flying solo. Boy, I'm looking forward to having Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church back in studio. And hopefully that's sooner than later. And again, we may not book a guest that day because Pastor Ken's going to have a whole lot to talk about. And I look forward to that day. Our special guest for today's show, and I want to thank Tom Roy from UPI, and you hear me say that a lot on this show, but man, this Grafton native, this boy that grew up in Wisconsin, has really helped us over the last 7 years with really good guests and godly men and guys that will get up on the mountaintop with us a little bit and not afraid to talk about their faith. And we normally, his guys are all baseball guys, and no exception here. And I was a big fan of our guest, Matt Mieske, who played for the Milwaukee Brewers for a number of years. He also played for the Seattle Mariners, Houston Astros, and the Arizona Diamondbacks. And then he played for one other team that I don't know if we want to talk about or not. Chicago Cubs. Nobody up here. Oh, there's a couple Cubs fans. I'm lying. Our special guest the entire hour is Matt Mieske. Hey, Matt, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am doing, you know what, I'm doing good, Matt, I am. This is just a weird world we're living in right now, and I know that everybody feels it, and I got to tell you that I don't like change a lot, Matt. I've been holding hands with the same girl since the day after we graduated from high school. It's a long time ago. We bought one house, Matt. Neither one of us likes change much, and 2020 is just, it's all about change, and you have to adapt, but man, I'm getting tired of it. I am, and I just want to go back to some sort of normalcy. Talk a little bit about how you and your family, everybody's doing okay?
Yeah, we're doing good. It's been a stressful year for everybody. We have had both of our adult graduated from college kids living with us for portions of this year. And then we had our future son-in-law staying with us this spring, and now they got married in the midst of this. Wedding was planned in 7 weeks.
Wow.
And everything went very well. So the rumors that weddings take a year to plan are unfounded, and you can do it much quicker. Smaller and simple was not necessarily cheaper. I'll go on the record and say that. But it's been a very weird year for everybody. It's been stressful. We've managed to stay healthy, and our state has had more restrictive guidelines than a lot of the other states. Our governor has taken a different approach, and so I'm with you. I'm ready to hopefully put this behind us and have some freedom again. It's been challenging from that standpoint.
It really has. And congratulations on you and your wife to have your daughter married. I have a son and a daughter who both married, and my daughter and her husband, John, have three sons, so I have three grandsons on that side, and my son, Matthew, and his wife, Kiara, they have a 16-month-year-old, a little Liam Michael McGivern. Well, that's an Irish name, Matt, and I'm telling you, little Liam, he is fun. And these three grandsons, Keegan and Beckett and Logan, are the three on the other side, and it is fun. I stopped coaching basketball after 36 years, and I get a chance to go watch them play a little bit, and it is it's fun. I need to figure out how to be a grandfather, and just a grandfather in the stands. Just be quiet. You know all the refs. Don't have to talk to the refs. Don't have to ask him why he's not boxing out. You're not his coach. And so that for me has taken a little bit, that's a challenge for me. And I just need to sit back and enjoy watching these kids play. So you live in Michigan, correct? Where in a small town, a big town, where do you live?
Small town in Michigan. It's pretty much straight across the lake from Milwaukee. And then inland a little bit, called Freeland.
Okay.
And if we could drive across the lake, I could probably get there in about 3 hours. But so it essentially straight across Lake Michigan from you guys, and it's in the area where I grew up, not the same city, but adjacent. And after living in Arizona for 14 years, we moved back here in 2005. We wanted to raise our kids through their teenage years here in Michigan, and it was a good choice.
Boy,
it was a good decision at that time.
You know, they say that a boy can't come home, right? You can't come home. And what was it like? How much did that area change the years that you were gone? And obviously, you guys still like the area because you've been there for a bit now. But did that area change quite a bit while you were playing playing baseball?
It did. I wouldn't say it changed a whole lot, but it did change. I like to say that we don't keep up with pop culture or current culture here. It's still kind of an old-fashioned area. And slower pace than most, but technology has changed everybody's lives. And but we try to hold on to as many of those older traditional things as we can. And one reason why we like it, it still has a small town feel to it, and for the most part, people are friendly.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. We're talking to Matt Mieske, former Milwaukee Brewer. Played for the Chicago Cubs, the Mariners, the Astros, and the Diamondbacks. And again, I just want to thank you, Tom Roy. He said, "Hey, look, this Matt Mieske would be somebody that I'd reach out to." And I said, "You got to be kidding!" Because I loved watching this dude play. And he said, "Great, you should probably tell him that." I said, "I will, Matt. I've been a Brewer fan for a long time." And I really enjoyed watching you play for the Brewers, and it was fun. You played multiple positions in the outfield and got after it, you kind of had that grit that people in Milwaukee like to see guys have when they play for the Brewers. And the times that you spent here in Milwaukee with the Brewers, do you think back on those years fondly?
Absolutely. That was a great place for me as a younger player with a young family. It was comfortable. It was safe. I wish I would have got to play more than I did, but I always enjoyed when I did get a chance to play. And having been in a lot of different cities and played for several teams, there was a lot about Milwaukee that we enjoyed. And it was really a blessing to us to start our career there as a major leaguer. And I enjoyed my time. I have a lot of friends that I made there while we were playing. I did enjoy it. And I just wish I would have got to play a little bit more.
He played for the Brewers 1993 to 1997. He major league debut with the Brewers May 3rd of 1993. And I got to ask you this: when you were growing up in, I think, Midland, Michigan, did you play multiple sports, or was baseball kind of where you played the most, and thinking that would be your way to go on and play at the next level?
Well, unlike a lot of younger athletes today who kind of specialize in one thing. I was multi-sport. I played basketball and football as well. Was actually recruited in college for all three sports. And I decided to play baseball, but I could have played collegiately in any of the three. And baseball was probably my favorite. Actually, my favorite was hockey. I played hockey as well, but we didn't have the organized teams that they have now growing up. So, but baseball was always my first love, but I did play multiple sports, and sort of played collegiately, but I chose not to.
Good for you. That, you know what, I love that. As again, as a former retired high school basketball coach, I tell this story every once in a while, that when I was coaching at a school called Whitefish Bay Dominican here, we had a young man that the Badgers had some interest in, Matt, and he had never played football. And after the football team played their first game, this kid's sophomore year, he went to the coach and said, "Hey, can I still try out?" And the coach said, "Can you try out? Did you see the amount of, you know, the lack of players we have? You want to play football? Come on." So Monday they got him his uniform, right, his pads and everything, and Tuesday went to his first practice. On Friday night, he was returning kicks, and the first kickoff, he took 97 yards for a touchdown. And from that moment on, the kid, like, he really excelled in football. He played both sides of the ball. He even punted. And then his senior year, he decided he didn't want to play football anymore because he knew he was going to play basketball at the next level. And him and I were in Bo Ryan's office up in Wisconsin. And I said, "Coach Ryan, Kwame played football his sophomore and junior year, and he decided he did not to play this year. How do you feel about that?" And he shook his head. He said, "Look, son, I'm just going to tell you this. If I have two kids that are the same, you know what, play the same position, you know, they're pretty much the same as far as their academics, and one kid played football and one kid didn't, I'm taking the kid who played football because he's tougher." And Kwame kind of looked at him. He said, "No, I'm telling you," he said, "I love kids that play multiple sports." And as a basketball coach, man, I knew that if I had a kid on the team that was a quarterback or a running back, and on fourth and one with 8 seconds to go in the game and they're down four, that he had enough guts and courage to score from the 1 yard line to get his team a win, he certainly could hit a free throw for me, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, what position did you play in basketball?
I was a guard, and we didn't really have point guard and shooting guard. We didn't have a 3-point line then, but our high school league was at that time it was the best league in the state. We were towards the bottom of the league, but I played against Glenn Rice.
Oh.
And I played against Andre Risen, who ended up playing football more than basketball. I played against Terrence Green, Jeff Grayer, some very good collegiate players, and NBA players. I believe Glenn Rice is in the Hall of Fame now, I believe.
He is. He definitely is. Boy, you played. Those are big names to guys like me, Matt, just so you know. Those are, you know, Grayer and Rice, and obviously Andre Risen, who won a Super Bowl with the Packers. Boy, that's awesome. Hey, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to ask Matt Mieske for his testimony. Again, former Milwaukee Brewer. He played for the Brewers from 1993 to 97, played for the Cubs for 1 year in 98, Seattle, Houston, and Arizona. Ended his baseball career with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I know when I started telling people early in the week that I had Matt, I'm going to have Matt Mieske on for Faith in the Zone, there's a lot of Matt Mieske fans, like I was, still here in the Milwaukee area, and it's so good that his willingness to come on this show and share his faith and how it's affected his life professionally and personally. We'll get to that part on the other side of the break. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, again flying solo this week. Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. We'll be back in studio as soon as I can get him in the door. And it might still be a bit from what I understand, but I'm looking forward to having him back. Our special guest, Matt Mieske, former Milwaukee Brewer, Chicago Cub. I know, don't hold that against him. Seattle Mariner, Houston Astro, Arizona Diamondbacks. He grew up in a small town in Michigan, and him and his wife and family are living in Michigan. They were in Arizona for a while and then came back to Midwest a little bit to raise their family. And I think that, you know, good for him. Good for you guys, Matt. And you could put up with the summers in Arizona. You certainly can put up with the winters in Michigan. And you got to be a little tougher than most to be able to do that. Hey, the second segment of Faith in the Zone, we like to ask people for their testimony and where their journey began. So if you could share your testimony with us.
Sure, absolutely. So I grew up in a home that we went to a Catholic church. So I grew up believing everything the Catholic Church taught, and we went to church on a regular basis. I always remember when I was younger, say 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, whenever we'd be in the car driving somewhere, and thought always kind of stuck in my mind, I wonder why there were other kinds of churches. And I wondered, you know, why doesn't everybody go to the same church? And even in a small town of 3,000 people, we had Baptist, and we had Methodist, and we had Lutheran, and we had Catholic. And I didn't really know when I was growing up what the difference was, but I always wondered, never got the answer to that, but I always wondered why there were different churches. And as you mentioned earlier, I was a multi-sport player, devoted pretty much my entire life to athletics, loved competing, and played multiple sports, chose baseball, played in high school and college, and signed professionally. But everything I did, I was successful at. I was a good student. I was good at a lot of different things. Sports, was something that I loved to do, and that everything I tried, I was always good at. So growing up, I didn't experience failure to really any extent. And as I started to play professionally, even in my first 2 years in San Diego organization in rookie ball and then high A, I won the Most Valuable Player award in my first year in the league. And in my second year, I won the Most Valuable Player award in that league as well. So Northwest League in my first year and the California League in my second year. So I remember going into my third year in spring training, and you kind of think about how you want the season to go. And I remember thinking to myself, well, it's last year, I just wanted to do better than I did the year before. And it's kind of hard to exceed the Most Valuable Player. You can't get higher than that. And then I did it again. And I thought to myself, okay, I want to get better. I want to do better. and I'd like to eventually make it to the majors. Well, in the end of spring training of my third year, I got traded from San Diego to Milwaukee and spent the last week or so of spring training with the Brewers in Chandler, Arizona. And that was kind of a shock to me. I'd always dreamed of playing in the majors, and then once you get traded, you kind of realize it's a business. It wasn't that thing that I had dreamed about my entire life. I realized, wow, this is different. And so that was a big shock to me. And so we left spring training. So the year before, I had played in A ball, and I skipped Double A. I went right to Triple A with the Brewers in Denver. And obviously they felt comfortable enough with how I had done to put me right in AAA and bypass AA. And so we go to a new city, we go to Denver, and that was the last year in the Mile High Stadium before the Rockies had their team the next year. And being part of the Gary Sheffield trade, I just put a lot of pressure on myself to prove my worth, my value, I guess. And I started the season in Denver, really struggled. And the more I struggled, the harder I tried, and the worse it got. And I remember at one point looking up at the Giants scoreboard in Mile High Stadium, and I think my batting average was like 118 or 121 or something like that. And it was in May, so we were 5 weeks or so into the season. And so I was struggling terribly. And I'd really never failed at anything in my life, at least not to that extent. And I was actually to the point where I wasn't having any fun, and I was actually thinking about just leaving. Obviously, I didn't do that, but I was very close. And what was amazing during that time is God had put some people around me that have become very good friends, and that were teammates who were believers. And I can remember thinking to myself, okay, I'm one step away from reaching my lifelong dream, and I'm miserable. I'm absolutely miserable. I'm struggling. I'm miserable. I'm not having any fun. And I can remember thinking to myself, there has to be something better than this. There has to be something better than this. And so I remember going to chapel on Sundays, and there were three guys in Denver that rotated. Sometimes two of them out of the three would be there. But just listening to them a couple times in April and maybe once in May, and they would be there during the week occasionally, but just hearing what they had to say, and at a time when I was kind of down and struggling and vulnerable, the Holy Spirit just used their message to make an impact on me. And I realized that I was not saved, and it just, you know, God opened my eyes, opened my heart, and I accepted Christ that first week or so in May, first or second week in May. I don't remember the exact day. But I can remember just having a ton of bricks lifted off my shoulders.
Amen.
And it didn't change my batting average. I still looked up, and it was still hitting 100. But I stopped putting so much pressure on myself. And so, you know, by that time, we were 6 weeks into the season, and I was playing every day, and we probably had played, you know, 40 games, so I had almost 200 at-bats, and I was hitting 120 or 130, and but from that time forward, I was able to relax, and baseball's a game that you have to be able to relax, and if you try harder, you get diminishing results, unlike football or hockey, where you can run into somebody harder, trying harder sometimes help you. But The rest of the season was amazing. I ended up, I think I climbed up to like 278 or 277. So the second half of the season, I think I hit 350 or 360. But it was really attributed to being freed up in my mind and my heart and not having that pressure on me.
Boy, so, amen to that. I got to tell you, we were talking to Matt Mieske, again, former Milwaukee Brewer, Chicago Cubs, Seattle Mariners, Houston Astros, Arizona Diamondbacks, but he spent four good years here in Milwaukee from 93 to 1997. Sorry about that, Matt.
Yeah, no problem. So I think the moral of the story is I had always kind of put sports in general and in particular baseball. Baseball was my God. It was the most important thing in my life. And my happiness, my security, my joy was fully on the results of my baseball career up until that time. And I realized that my priorities were not in the right place. And accepting Christ was something that needed to happen. And God needed to be the most important thing in my life. And my relationship, my walk with Christ now, almost 30 years ago, has been the single most important thing, the most significant part of my life, and even more than being a major league player. It's who I am. It's the center of my life. It's just the most important thing. And I feel incredibly blessed to have played baseball professionally for 11 years, parts of 8 in the majors.
Wow.
And then, you know, to have a second career as a professional financial advisor going in, I'm in my 20th year of that. And God's been great. I mean, the amazing thing is I think last year I've made more in this career than I did playing Major League Baseball to this point, which not a lot of guys can say that.
No.
And but I really attribute that to God laying the groundwork, planting the seeds, other people in my life growing up and having a good work ethic, and I have to thank my parents and just people that have impacted my life along the way. There's dozens of them, you know, some are not alive anymore. And I think back and how God puts people in your path at just the right time. And so I always try to look at that from the standpoint of who am I around? Who can I have that impact on, and who needs help in a way that I needed help at that time? And, I firmly believe that we are blessed to be a blessing. And as we experience God's blessings, that we're supposed to pass that on. And the amazing thing is I still get baseball cards probably 2, 3, 4 times a week in envelopes with return envelopes. And I sign every one. And on at least one card in the envelope, I will put a scripture verse on.
Amen. Good for you.
And I think that, you know, I don't know if these ever have an impact on the other end when people get those cards back. Maybe they see that and they throw it out. I don't know. But I've been doing it for 20 years or more. And someday, maybe I'll know.
Someday.
If anybody was impacted by that. But, you know, That's just one way. I certainly get the opportunity in my job to help people, and I do have a lot of Christians who are clients. So I am completely pleased with where God has me, and I'm very thankful for the journey, and it's been a great ride.
He is Matt Mieske, and again, his major league debut, May 3rd, 1993, for the Milwaukee Brewers. that team, and Doug Henry was on that team. He has been on Faith in the Zone with us, but that team with Ricky Bonus and Cal Eldred, you know, the Bill Wegman, if you guys know the Brewers the way I did, and I still do, but back then, you know, you look at that infield of guys like Pat Listach and John Jaha, or guys, Kevin Spitzer, that Billy Spires, who obviously you would remember, and B.J. Surhoff and Dickie Thon, and then the outfield then was Matt, Greg Vaughn, Robin Yount, Daryl Hamilton. These are some players from, look, I think Robin Yount's the greatest Milwaukee Brewer that's ever put on a uniform. But that's me talking. And this guy got a chance to play with him. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation. What a great testimony. Look, we've had a lot of Brewers, or a lot of baseball guys, a lot of baseball guys on. And when you listen to Matt's testimony about, hey, look, you know what? I had success everywhere. And then all of a sudden, you know, I get traded, and Sheffield wanted out of Milwaukee. Guys at my age, you know this. He wanted out of Milwaukee. Didn't like it here. And Matt Mieske was one of the guys he got traded for. And his life now changed. And he was going through some struggles. And look, he grew up in a Catholic church. I grew up in a Catholic church. And I've said this a million times. They handed me that Bible, Matt, and said, hey, carry it. You don't have to open it. We'll tell you what's in it. You just carry it when we tell you to carry it. And I had a relationship with Jesus Christ. I knew all about Jesus Christ when I was a kid. I knew him the same way I knew Abraham Lincoln. I knew all the stories, didn't have any kind of relationship. We'll continue our conversation. Again, Matt Mieske, former Milwaukee Brewer. That 1993 roster was loaded with people that we still talk about when we hang out and talk about old Brewer teams. These are the guys we talk about, and Matt is certainly one of those guys. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brain Balance of Mequon. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I am Mike McGivern, again flying solo, looking forward to having Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church in studio, our special guest. Man, and that Matt Mieske, his testimony was so strong. Former Milwaukee Brewer, Chicago Cubs, Seattle Mariner, Houston Astro, and Arizona Diamondback. And when you hear a guy who says, look, I was pretty good there for a while. Was an MVP in two minor league baseball leagues, and was an awfully good athlete in the town I grew up in. And when I struggled for the first time, you know, I realized this is not all about me. And he was able to turn his life over. And even though he continued to fail, because we all fail, you know, he had somebody that he could rest assured that had his back, because he had turned this thing over. Hey, Matt, what is your wife's name?
Lynn.
Lynn. Hey, where did you guys meet?
We met at Western Michigan University, where we went to school. And end of my freshman year and into the beginning of my sophomore year. She was a year ahead of me. But, we met at Western Michigan.
Hey, so we had, and I believe that the football coach from Western Michigan has been on Faith in the Zone. And I asked him, boy, kids have really changed over the years, haven't they? And he said, no. I go, what? I was expecting him to agree with me. And he goes, no. He said, Mike, when I was first-year head coach at Western Michigan, I was I was a 28-year-old, the youngest football coach in the country, head coach in the country, and I was single and I was cool. And now I'm 44. I'm married. I have three kids. I want to get out of practice and get home and see my kids. These kids haven't changed. I've changed. You've changed, Mike. They're still doing the idiotic stuff that I did as a freshman in college. Now they're posting it, and social media has taken over. But I don't think the kids have changed. I think you and I have changed a little bit. And it's really interesting to me because I talked to people about that. It was almost an epiphany when he said that, because I think he's right. I think kids, I think I've changed. I've gotten older and a little bit slower, and I can't hit a jump shot to save my life anymore, Matt. And these kids, you know, look at me as the old guy, where when I started coaching basketball 36 years ago, I certainly was not that. So, hey, when you and Lynn started dating, was Lynn a believer in college, or have you guys kind of taken that journey together?
No, she was not. Neither one of us were. Like I said earlier, I became a Christian while we were in AAA in 1992. And my wife had a similar upbringing in the Catholic Church, but they didn't go to church a whole lot. We didn't really have a lot of discussions about faith. We got married in a Catholic church, but I became a believer early in the season in 1992, and it was kind of a crash course during the year of starting to read scripture, and I think she noticed that I was reading. I tried not to, like, put it in her face. I was just trying to figure everything out, and so the next season, we couldn't be in Denver anymore because the Rockies were there. So our AAA team got moved to New Orleans. And I wouldn't call New Orleans the hotbed of Christianity.
No, but, it is not.
So over the course of that season, I had gotten called up for the first time and then got sent back down, and then I broke a bone in my hand, so I missed some time. But over the course of that season, there were some other wives on the team that really invested a lot of time in Lynn. And when we would go on the road, we would have Bible studies, and the husbands on the team would always ask about her. They knew that I was a believer. And so they knew that they could tell their wives that, you know, she's not a believer and you need to work on her. So whenever we went on the road, they would really try to encourage her. And I mean, New Orleans is a place where they had, at the time, they had drive-through daiquiri shops. So you could get, you know, 32-ounce daiquiris right at the drive-in window. And so, you know, thankfully, she got to a point where she realized that she didn't have that relationship. I think she saw changes in me. Obviously, not perfect. Wasn't perfect then, but she saw a difference, and we never really talked about it. She kind of came to that decision on her own. But then told me, you know, afterwards, and that off season, we went back to Arizona and really got plugged in. Just had a great group of other baseball families, and that were very strong in their faith, and we got together weekly, and we just you know, grew tremendously that off season. So. I didn't have a lot to do with it. It was kind of organic, but I'm thankful that it happened. And now we've been married 29 years and been a believer for 28 of those 29. So
did you you all kicked your covers like I did a little bit?
Oh yeah,
attaboy. Yeah. That avoid, because yeah. I definitely did. Hey, really quickly, do you? I looked it up. It was actually Eastern Michigan University that Craig Creighton was the guest on Faith in the Zone, who talked about kids not changing, that we changed. Do you remember some of the players on in the in the locker room with the Brewers that you know helped you with your walk? Are there guys that when you, if you haven't talked to in a while, when you see up in heaven, you're going to be able to say thank you to?
Oh, absolutely. I was very, very fortunate. And I think back in the early 90s, Christianity in sports was still kind of breaking free of the whole, Christian athletes are soft.
Right.
They don't play hard. And so I don't believe it's that way anymore, but it used to have that connotation with it. And I think we were still breaking free of that tag that we carried. And in Milwaukee in particular, we probably had more believers on our team than any other team in baseball or any other professional team in any sport. And I think Sports Illustrated might even have done an article on that. One of the big magazines did an article on it. And the bond that we had a good team, but not a great team. We might have been a couple players short from being a playoff team, but in a small market with setting the budget or salary where it was at, we had a very competitive team, just not quite playoff level. But we had more believers on that team, strong believers, and it was just a great environment for me to grow in my faith. You talk about living your faith at the field, in the clubhouse versus off the field. And, we're supposed to be the same person no matter where we go. And I always remember someone saying, your character is what you are when no one else is around.
Amen. Yep.
And I always took that as a challenge that, I need to be the same, consistent, tried to be, not perfect by any means, but it really helped, my career, just trying to be even keeled and consistent. But Milwaukee was really a blessing because we had so many strong believers on the team, and we really grew, cared about each other, really good friendships. And the interesting thing was it was comfortable, but at the same time, the guys on the team who weren't, I think it created kind of a not conflict, but it was just awkward at times because the group that we had was so strong that the guys who weren't, I think they resented it to some extent. And, we never tried to be exclusive by any means, but I really would say that they were always, the guys who weren't believers seemed like they're always waiting for us to mess up in some way,
sure.
Either with behavior or language, and then always point to that and see, say, okay, I saw that, or why do you do that? You're not perfect. And so it was kind of unfair from that standpoint, but, someone who doesn't have Christ in their life, that's a perspective they're going to have.
100%.
I would say that,
I'm sorry, Matt, we got to get you a quick break. He is Matt Mieske.
Yeah.
And again, former Milwaukee Brewer. On the other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation. We'll have a short segment, and I want to ask him what uniform he would put on. Of all the uniforms that he has played, and I'm talking any sport, if I gave him the opportunity to play one more game, what uniform and what team would he play against? He is Matt Mieske, and just a wonderful testimony in the fact that he was one of our Milwaukee Brewers. I'm a bigger fan of his now than I was back in 93, 94, 95. And I'm telling you, I was a huge fan. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Covered me.
A Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, our special guest, man. And like I said, I was a big fan of his. I'm a bigger fan now. He's Matt Mieske, former Milwaukee Brewer, played for the Cubs for a year. And like I said, don't hold that against him. The Mariners, the Astros, and the Diamondbacks. Hey, Matt, all the teams you've played on, and you think you're a multi-sport athlete growing up, grade school, high school, and then played baseball. If I could say you can put one uniform on one more time and play one game, what uniform of all those uniforms you've had would you put on?
Well, I would say when I was playing baseball in college, in the summertime, I played for Team USA.
Oh.
And I played on the national team twice, so for two different years. It was a non-Olympic year. It was the year after the Olympics. But I played on the national team, and we got to go play in Cuba when it was closed. And it was a five-game series. And they had a stadium down there in Havana, 55,000-seat stadium, and it was full.
Oh.
And the entire stadium, buildings, light stands, dugouts, every single thing in the stadium was Army green. There was no color whatsoever. It was just so oppressive. Beautiful stadium, but everything was Army green. And we got to go down there and play them. And I did pretty well down there while we were playing. I hit a home run in their stadium. We won the series 3-2, which wasn't supposed to happen because they had an amazing team. But I think just that encapsulated the privilege of being able to play baseball. Go to a country where you can't take things for granted, and they didn't have freedom. And in that stadium, in that environment, knowing that you're in a communist country, and on that stage, and you get to do what you've always wanted to do, that I would do that again. That was one of the highlights for me, and I think. Not just with baseball, but with life, the freedom that we have in our country. And I think we're fighting for that freedom right now with this election fight that's going on. And now we're at a crossroads, and that was a crossroads for me at that time. And I was not a believer at that time, but that was a huge memory for me, and I would do that again. Definitely.
Boy, that's a great answer. He is Matt Mieske. And Matt, I'm going to ask you, I've got probably 25 more questions that I really wanted to talk to you about. I may call you back in 6 months and do a Matt Mieske, two, because I just think there's so much that I wanted to ask you. But I was so impressed with your testimony and the fact that, we can get guys like you to get up on the mountaintop with us. I thank you so much. I certainly will pray for you and your family that they continue with good health and business continues to be good for you. And just thank you so much. And I want to thank Tom Roy for introducing us. And thank you so much for your time today, Matt.
No problem, Mike. I enjoyed it.
Excellent. Again, Matt Mieske, former Milwaukee Brewer. That's all we'll say. We're not talking about the Cubs with him. Thanks for listening. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip on a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on 1250 a.m., The Fan.
Was it really amazing grace? Now I know for certain, Lord, it was you that rescued me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.